Happy Friday. We are back at it on the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Thing Socolow Village Studio. Our friend Bob Buckmaster is on another wonderful vacation, posting some great photos on his Facebook page, so you'll want to get on over there. It is Friday, October 10th. I'm Dan Shearer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, sitting in for Bill. A few of us have been doing that this week, and we'll be doing it all next week. Brendan Kraft is the man behind the glass. He's producing and engineering the show just a few feet away. Good to see you, Brendan.
Good to see you too, Dan.
I think this is the first time I have hosted and you've been the guy.
I believe so.
So
I've seen you plenty in passing, but this is our first show together.
Very good. I look forward to it. On Fridays, Bill says thank you to the Buckmaster Show media partners, which include TucsonSentinel.com and its publisher-editor Dylan Smith, the Green Valley News, Sahuarita Sun, and Tucson Spotlight. You're going to find all of those and a lot more on his website, buckmastershow.com. You can find the archive of all of Bill's shows there, too, and he has some great ones. Just had a good interview yesterday, actually, with one of the guest hosts, with Representative Juan Ciscomani, worth listening to, and there's so much more there. Our Friday Focus interview today is with Kim Isley. She is the president of the Animal League of Green Valley. If you have a question or comment anytime during the show, call us at 520-790-2040. That's the Buckmaster Show live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We, Kim Isley, welcome.
Thank you.
This is the first time you've been on the show.
Yes, it is. It's exciting to be here.
Okay, very good. And I know we have some radio down in our area, and this is a different audience, and it's always great to reach people with the message of what's going on in Green Valley, Sahuarita. That's what Bill allows me to do when I'm hosting.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, just, hey, I bring people out of our area and say, hey, look what's going on down there.
Great.
So when I moved here many, many years ago, the Animal League really was just kind of front and center for me, because their work was, I just couldn't believe what was going on in that small building.
Yeah, we. What year did you move here?
2009.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
we started there in about 2001.
Mm-hmm.
But we'd been around since 1984.
Right. So you are more than 40 years old.
Yep. We turned 40 last year. We're 41 this year.
Yep. Very good. And how long have you been with them?
16 years.
And in what capacity?
Well, I started out and I wanted to be an adoption counselor, and I was told, oh no, you have to be an adoption counselor. To be an adoption counselor, you have to be here for a long time. So I said, okay, well, what can I do? And they said, you can work with dogs. So I was a dog handler, but pretty soon after I became a dog handler, I was asked to be a dog coordinator, somebody who oversees the people and the animals on a shift. So I took that on, and then I added to that being the volunteer coordinator for the entire Animal League. Then I added to that being an adoption counselor, and then I added to that, and I just kept adding things.
So you're not saying you moved from one to the next, you just kind of added it all on.
I just kept adding on to what I was doing until 6 years ago I was elected president.
Very good. And so in that role, you've got a lot to deal with, because as I'm going back, 6 years ago it would have been just as COVID was hitting.
Yep, it was my privilege.
Work through that one.
To have that be my first obstacle to jump over.
And quite a big one.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty scary. I had been president for 3 months when we were told everything had to shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I can't shut down. I have live animals mm-hmm. here. So we worked around it. And God bless the people that were long timers who refused to stay home, along with mm-hmm. me and several other people. And we just kept coming in and doing what needed to be done. We started doing adoptions and intakes by appointment only. So only one visitor from the public would be there at one time. And that worked out really well. We still do a lot of things by appointment now because it did work out
mm-hmm.
so well.
Mm-hmm.
And we got through it.
Right, exactly. So nothing really stopped. It was just changed.
It just changed.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you mentioned your volunteers, and I will mention the Animal League and White Elephant, and then there are many other groups, Friends Indeed and others down there, where they rise and fall on the volunteers.
Absolutely.
And so I don't know what you would have done had they not said, we're sticking with it.
I don't know what we would have done either, because at that point in time, everybody was a volunteer.
Sure.
We now have 6 paid people.
Mm-hmm.
But in 2000, what was it, 20?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Every single person there was a volunteer, right, including me. I'm a volunteer.
Right. That's incredible. So what are the numbers as far as volunteers go?
Well, you know, it depends on the day and it depends where you look. We have a spreadsheet that's supposed to be all our volunteers, and I looked at it yesterday and it said we had 600, yet every department is crying that they don't have enough people. So that number can't be accurate. It's somewhere between 300 and 600 people.
300 and 600. And then people should know that in Green Valley in the summer, about a third of the community is gone for at least 6 weeks, sometimes 6 months.
Yep.
And so you must go. You
we
must
do.
Dip. Yeah.
When the snowbirds leave, that's what we fondly refer to them. It's really bad. But what helps us get through that time is at the end of May, we start training our youth interns.
Mm-hmm.
We have a summer youth intern program. Any student that will be in high school in the fall, or if they're under 18 and going to be going into college and they want to do it, but they have to be under 18. They can come and volunteer for 8 weeks during those summer break. And they do pretty much everything the adults do except for working with certain, you know, more difficult dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And they help us get through June and July. And then August hits and it's really bad.
So YIPS is the name of that.
Yep, youth intern program.
Yeah, and my son went through it many years ago. Mm-hmm. And he's since become a teacher. But that was really important and good for him because, you know, good. You walk into a situation where you're not number one. You know, it's these animals that you're helping and you must help them. They need you.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
And it's great for a teenager, young teenager, to be in that position, to realize the world doesn't revolve around them and that they can make a difference.
And they're not allowed to have their cell phones on them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they have to learn that animals need love, attention, food, water, walks, all
right.
those things.
Right. And so that program is still ongoing. And
it is. We did take a hiatus during COVID.
Sure.
We shut that down for we started it back up in 22. So it's been going 4 more years now.
So like a lot of organizations in your situation, you also rely on fosters. So not all of the animals are housed at the Animal League. They are in people's homes.
Right. So where the fosters come in really handy are the kitten fosters. So if a kitten comes in or kittens come in a litter and they're under 2 pounds and under 2 months, they must go to a foster home. So our foster kitten people, we rely on them so much. I mean, we had hundreds of kittens in foster this mm-hmm. year during the summer. And then dogs, certain dogs go into foster. However, I'd like to segue into what's going on right now.
Sure.
We're currently having our parking lots totally ripped out, redone, new asphalt, new lines, the whole thing. And it was going to be about a 2-week project. So we went out to the community and we said, help, can anybody foster dogs during this period? Because the more dogs we could get out, the less stress it would be on them with the loud noise and mm-hmm. the bangs and the heavy machinery. And also, it would give us the opportunity to do some painting, cleaning, much-needed attention to the kennels themselves. And we had over 60 people come forward and say they would be willing to foster a dog. We couldn't match every single one of them with a dog, but we had 46 out of 50 dogs in foster homes.
Wow.
It was amazing.
That is something else. You know what? When you let the community know what you need, they will respond.
Yeah, and they did, and it was just so cool. And I've got what we did is we assigned a trainer to each dog so that the person with the dog, if they ran into a problem, had somebody they could reach out to. And some of my trainers have said, oh my gosh, I get 10 texts a day with pictures and, you know, here's Juliet peeing and here's, you know, whatever.
Dog people.
Yeah, it's really cute. And so the dogs will start coming back as soon as tomorrow. But it's been a great 2 weeks. We got a lot of work done at the shelter, and the dogs got a much needed vacation.
You know, I always felt that the foster programs for animal organizations was a sneaky ploy to have people fall in love with the animals and just keep them.
Well, we're hoping that'll happen with some of them. I know of about 3 or 4 that will be foster failures.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that what you call it?
Foster failures.
Yeah. Great people, though. Oh, man. So I've been looking at your numbers, and first of all, how many animals do you have in there right now? And you have just dogs and cats?
Right. Yes, we only have dogs and cats. That's plenty. And currently we have on site 5 dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And but as of the end of next week, we'll probably have more like 40-something dogs.
And then you will still have some in foster, though.
Some will still be in foster. Some were already in foster, and they will still be in foster. And we've had some of these new foster people say they'd like to keep the dog a little longer. Mm-hmm. So we're saying absolutely, because a break for the dog and to get information about the dog in a home, it's so valuable. And so we're like, yeah, if you want to keep them, one lady wants to keep the dog till Thanksgiving. We're like, go ahead.
So when you say how the dog acts in a home, they act different there than they would in
absolutely
at the animal lake.
A dog in a home will act 180 degrees different in a home.
Wow.
You get them out of the stress of the shelter. It doesn't matter how nice our shelter is.
Mm-hmm.
The Animal League of Green Valley is a nice shelter when you go and you look at other shelters. However, it is still a shelter.
Mm-hmm.
And with that comes the stress, dogs that don't like being kept in a small room, they're howling and they're barking, somebody strange comes through, they all start barking.
Mm-hmm.
That's stressful. They get in a home and they can relax. It only takes about 3 days for a dog to start to decompress.
Mm-hmm.
And we've even gotten messages from some of the foster parents saying, wow, it's been a week. The dog is acting totally different than it did on day one.
Wow.
They start to get cuddly and want to sit near you or sit on your lap. Yeah, we're getting great information about some of these dogs.
And then that obviously is going to be used in the future to help adopt the dogs out.
Yep. It'll
this
help
is how they
update
really are.
Their biographies.
Yeah.
And, yep, it's new information we can give potential adopters.
Well, I'll tell you what. In 2009, right after we moved here, we adopted a dog from the Animal League. And jumping through those hoops was, I'm sure, tougher than adopting a child. It was.
We take it seriously.
You do, but it was necessarily thorough. And I appreciated that. Along the way, I never rolled my eyes once, though I am one to do that. And I said, they're just protecting the dogs. And it wasn't just, oh, we have a live one, give him a dog.
Yeah, we, for the same reason, we will not ever give away a dog.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we decide it's going to be $25, we want people to have a little skin in the game.
Great.
And it's the same reason we do the adoption application. You meet with an adoption counselor. There's a contract. We want to find out as much as we can. And, we don't turn away a lot of people. We turn away some.
Sure.
But not a lot. And because most people that come in, they really do just want to have a dog or a cat.
Mm-hmm.
They just need a fuzzy companion. And, we acknowledge that and we honor that. But if somebody comes in and on their application they say the cat's going to go outside,
no go.
I will say no. We will not adopt you.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll say, well, we'll keep the cat inside. But you've already said you're going to let the cat out. So, nope, not going to fly.
So, again, a necessarily thorough process to go through, and maybe not everybody gets through.
Yeah.
It's okay, though.
Yeah, and yeah. It is.
And in the end, the dogs win. Looking at the numbers out of the Animal League of Green Valley, and we were speaking with Kim Isley. She's the president over there. You have had more than 800 adoptions each of the past 3 years. That's an incredible number.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Wow.
I think we're up to 700 and something for this year so far.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. And that's dogs and cats. What's the percentage of each?
Usually it's more cats than dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say 2/3 cats, 1/3 dog,
mm-hmm.
roughly.
Okay. We are going to take a call here for Kim Isley. She is the president of the Animal League of Green Valley. And who do we have on the line here?
You have Al on the line.
Hey, Al.
I wanted to tell you, Dan, I love when you're on the radio because you don't ask the wishy-washy questions like everybody else. I appreciate that.
When we start talking about pit bulls. Okay. Go ahead.
That's your own department there. What I wanted to say about the Animal League is they're the best people. We got a cat about 3 years ago. We saw him in the newspaper and went down there and got it. And he's a special needs cat. And we thought about it, and we went back, and he's been the best buddy ever.
Oh, that right? That's great. What was his name when you adopted him?
Oh, God.
And we're going to get into...
No, we call him Rex now.
Okay.
He's a big white cat, and he had a cut out of his ear.
Oh.
And that was the reason why we got it. And then we understand later on that when they spayed and neuter and they let him go, they cut the ears so they don't redo it again. But people, like three or four people, returned him because they said he was too needy.
Yeah.
Oh,
interesting.
We're going to get into a little bit. Thank you, Al. I really appreciate the phone call. We are going to get into a little bit about how you come up with the names, because we did a story on it once, and it was really interesting how you'll get a batch of kittens, and it's like, what are we going to do here? And it's a very interesting process. Okay, we are one segment into our Friday Focus interview with Kim Isley of the Animal League of Green Valley. Mona's Danish Bakery. Have you ever heard of them, Kim?
No.
They're awesome, and they're in northern part of Tucson, and I keep begging them, come to Green Valley and Sahuadita. We would just...
We'd love a bakery.
Absolutely. They are on the northeastern corner of Swan and Sunrise. That's home to the Danish Kringle and a wide range of incredible European-style pastries. Mona's is open every day but Monday at 7 a.m. Stop by, say hi to Steve, the owner, and then enjoy a lovely pastry, cup of coffee, or an adult beverage of your choice. For me, that would be milk, but I bet they have other things. So you are listening to the Bookmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Thing Socolo Village Studio. Our live line is made possible by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com.
Check out the project list for a new $2.67 billion regional transportation plan that Pima County voters will consider next March. The RTA Next Plan proposes improvements in the greater Tucson region to reduce congestion and support cleaner air, enhance network reliability, safety, and efficiency. It will also expand transit, bike, and pedestrian options for another 20 years. Voters will be asked to okay a half-cent countywide sales tax to continue RTA improvements. The tax rate will not increase. Learn more about the proposed plan and projects at RTANext.com.
The Green Valley News and Sahuaritas Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sahuaritas Sun, covering your hometown.
For more than a half century, Tucson gardeners trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Scheer, sitting in for a vacationing Bill Buckmaster. We're talking about animals with Kim Isley. She's the president of the Animal League of Green Valley. And Al just called in, and we were talking about names, and you and I were talking off air. Our dog, when we adopted her, was named Honeydew. We changed that, as I'm guessing a lot of people do. But you get a lot of animals in, and suddenly you have to come up with all these names. And you guys do have somewhat of a process for that.
Well, we try to keep lists handy because if a litter comes in, we want a theme for the litter. So, for instance, one of our most recent litters was the weather litter. So we had stormy, misty, lightning, thunder, you know, names like that. The cats, they have so many kittens come in. They do have lists they refer to, and they come up with some of the most horrific names. I mean, they had the air conditioning litter. It was Carrier and Ream and, poor kittens get these terrible names. But you have to. If you don't do it by theme for a litter, you can't keep track of all the animals.
Right, right. Well, it's a great idea. Like I said, we adopted Honeydew and changed her name to Ayla pretty quick, and my son came up with that. But I would guess that a lot of them do have a name change, but some of them are pretty quaint.
I would say almost 50-50. I mean, I don't know. I've never looked at the numbers, but a lot of people keep the name and a lot of people change it.
Yep. Very good. So I want to go back to, we mentioned COVID earlier, and we know at the time, at least the report said, that there was, you know, now that people are kind of stuck in their homes, there's kind of a rush on animals. People wanted to adopt. And was that accurate? And then what was the fallout when we all kind of went back to work?
So, yes, that was very accurate. We actually had one day, it was just for one day, and then a dog came in, but we had one day when we had only one dog on the premises.
Wow.
And it wasn't because of fostering. Some of it was fostering. But the dog that was on the premises, we had deemed unadoptable, so he had to be there. But everybody else went to foster or was adopt. People wanted a companion. Mm-hmm. They wanted something to keep them, especially single people. They wanted something to keep them company, and they now were allowed to work from home. And they didn't want to do it alone, so they got a dog or a cat. But yes, after, it wasn't an immediate thing after COVID. It wasn't like the world opened up and everybody brought back their dog.
Sure.
But over the next year or so, a lot of dogs were returned.
So people wanted a teddy bear, not an animal.
Yeah, well.
And I get it to get through, but man, you got to think long term on this.
Right, so. Exactly.
Okay, we have another caller on the line. Paul, you're going to talk about injured and sick dogs. This is Kim Isley from the Animal League. Go ahead.
Hi, Paul.
Yeah. Thank you for having somebody on this program that doesn't hate America.
Neither of us hates America.
Yeah, well, that's who's usually on this program. But anyway, when I used to raise dogs, when I bring a dog into an animal center that's been injured, like right now I've got one with a broken leg and I can't seem to get it to heal back. If I bring that in, do they put that dog to sleep, or who pays for the vet bills?
Well, we would never put an animal to sleep for a medical reason unless it was a life-threatening reason. So who pays for it? We would pay for it.
Yeah. And thank you, Paul. I appreciate that. And I'm going to kind of follow up on that a little bit, because when you adopt out an animal that is 10 years or older, you offer some sort of a special service.
Okay. Well, it's not an animal. So cats, it's 12 years or older. Dogs, it's 10 years or older. Or if it's an 8 year or older dog that weighs over 65 pounds, we will pay for the majority of the vet care for the rest of that animal's life, up to a $7,500 lifetime limit.
Okay. That's very generous.
We've never had anybody hit the limit so far. It's a very popular program. It really helps to get the senior animals adopted.
I have a friend who has a cat, and that's exactly the program she wanted and needed, and it has gone very well.
Oh, good.
It's been a real blessing to them because for a lot of people, it is getting more and more expensive
yes.
to have an animal, and I have had people across my desk from me weeping over vet bills.
Oh, it's outrageous.
It is an incredible, and I know there's doggy insurance out there, animal insurance. Do you know much about it, and is it worth it?
You know, I looked into it for my animals, but I have five animals,
mm-hmm.
and the insurance would have been cost prohibitive for five of them.
Sure.
So maybe it's worth it if you only have one animal, but I don't really know what they cover. I don't know anyone who's ever had it. So I don't know, you know, what's covered, what's not covered, what's, you know.
It's almost like a car warranty, you
know. Yeah.
It sounds good on the surface, and then you when you need it, you find out it doesn't cover a lot of things.
Yeah, and that's my fear, and that's why I didn't proceed any further with my animals. Well, like I said, it was really not very cheap either.
Well, if anybody has had experience with that and wants to call in, we'd love to hear how that went. Then back to this idea of euthanizing animals. Nobody likes to talk about it, but it's a reality. We have no kill shelters all over the place, but one, they're extremely expensive. And sometimes you get animals in there. You just mentioned the term unadoptable.
Right. So we will euthanize for medical reasons. So an animal is dying. We will put it down. We will not let an animal suffer ever. But on the flip side, the behavioral, we kind of have a three strike, you're out type of thing. That's not verbatim, and don't anyone take me literally on that. But we put up with quite a bit before we'll put an animal down for behavioral reasons. In fact, we've only put down two dogs for behavioral reasons in the last 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
We never euthanize for space. Instead, we just will not take in an animal.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we manage it.
Right. And then sometimes you have animals dropped off, and I'm going to guess every once in a while you pull up to work and there's a box of kitties outside.
Oh, yeah.
And so you really don't even know what you're getting sometimes.
Right.
That's scary.
It is scary. We actually have notes on the doors now that say if you've got a cat to drop off, to call a certain person. Because, you know, what, for one, if it's kittens, they may not live through the night. If they're left outside,
sure.
Depending on the weather and the age of the kittens and the health of the kittens. But yes, occasionally we will find a dog tied out front or a box of kittens. Or one day I came in early in the morning and there was a small crate by the front door with two dogs shoved into it. I mean, they barely fit.
Yep. Yep. So that is, so what is the process if somebody wants to surrender an animal? Because you know they're reluctant to do it, they're embarrassed, they're,
right.
You know, who knows what's going on in their lives though?
Ideally, we want you to call us and make an appointment. I can say right now, dogs, it'll be a couple months before we can take in a dog. Cats, we usually are a little more lenient on time-wise. Because cats, you can always squish one more cat in a room.
Sure.
Dogs need a kennel.
And a few years ago, you guys opened up a new cat house. It's not the word I'm looking for, but we used it in the newsroom a lot. But it was beautiful.
Yes.
I was there for the dedication.
Yep. We added another building, and half of that building was administration, and the other half was all for cats.
Yeah, and well necessary. I will tell you one thing that confounds me about this whole industry or calling is that decades after a big push to spay and neuter, we still have high numbers of animals who aren't.
It's so frustrating.
Drives
me
nuts.
There are still so many people out there that will not spay or neuter their animal. And, excuse me, my mouth got really dry. Some of it's still the machismo.
Sure.
It's the guys that do not want to neuter their dog.
Yep.
And And sometimes it's people that, oh, I just want him to have her to have one litter of puppies. Oh, my God. And then what are you going to do with the puppies?
Yep.
So we try to talk people out of these things. But some people, this is what they have in their mind. And then you've got the people that will not spay or neuter because it's so expensive. I called a local vet yesterday just as a citizen. And I asked how much it would cost to spay my dog. And they told me a minimum of $1,000.
Wow. Wow.
And neuter was between $600 and $900.
Wow.
Yeah. People, a lot of people don't have that kind of disposable income.
But you're not going to adopt out an animal that isn't spayed or neutered, typically.
Never.
Okay.
We used to. Mm-hmm. We used to adopt them out and then trust the people to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And then we found out that probably wasn't the way to go. So now every single animal leaves our premises spayed or neutered.
Right. So when we adopted ours in 2009, our dog, we took her out and she had just had puppies. And I don't know if it's just they couldn't do it right away, but they said, okay, you were paying for it. But we did get it done very shortly thereafter.
Right.
And who wouldn't want that?
Right.
You know, that's what
you think. Well, you would think who would want that.
Well, that whole machismo thing is very real, unfortunately.
It is.
And this is why we have a problem.
You know, and we were talking before about how we adopt out. We will not adopt to someone who has an unspayed or unneutered dog in their house.
Mm-hmm.
That's how strongly we feel about that.
Good point. Good point. Okay, we are talking with Kim Isley. She's the president of the Animal League of Green Valley down in my part. And oddly enough, dirty little secret about the Animal League, it's not in Green Valley. It's actually in Sarita.
Yeah, but our mailing address is Green Valley.
That's right, as is half of Sarita, by the way. So, okay, we are going to be right back here on the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Socolow Village Studio. See you in a minute.
Located in the heart of Arizona wine country, about an hour south of Metro Tucson, Flying Leap Estate Vineyards Winery and Distillery Facilities are one of the most beautiful wine venues in the southwestern United States. Come relax and unwind at our spacious property and learn about Arizona grape viticulture and winemaking from our team of trained sommeliers and discover the intricacies of the art of distillation. Learn more at flyingleapvineyards.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
And welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News, Sawadita Sun, sitting in for Bill. And we are talking to Kim Isley. She's the president of the Animal League of Green Valley. And Kim, take you back to January when the LA fires broke out. I know that the Animal League wasn't involved in this, but we had a lot of animals who had lost their homes and their the owners are, you know, separated, and suddenly the shelters out in the LA area were filling up, and so they were sending a lot of animals our way to Arizona. I know Havasu took some, the Phoenix area took some, and whatever.
Right.
And so it just speaks to this whole idea of collaboration among these. And I don't know what type of relationships you have with other rescue groups. Maybe it's PAC. Locally, we have Paws Patrol. What type of conversation goes on with these groups?
Well, the biggest collaboration we've got going on is with Paws Patrol. Paws Patrol, some of you may not know, is the feral cat organization. So what they really are supposed to be doing is trapping, neutering, or spaying and releasing these cats back out to a colony where hopefully there's someone to feed and water these cats. So the collaboration we have with Paws Patrol is if they get in a friendly cat or we get in a feral cat, we swap.
Okay.
Now, they do keep some friendlies and adopt them out. They do adopt out some cats there. But especially on the feral side, it's been a huge help for us because we're not set up for feral cats. We don't have the people that know what to do with a feral cat, whereas they do.
And I think Paws Patrol, what an organization, because
they're
again,
great.
A feral cat's going to be a feral cat, but they can have some use. You know, you want a barn cat,
right.
You want various things, so they can be very useful. It's kind of what cats do,
right.
In a lot of cases.
Exactly.
And so we had a situation years ago where a woman was moving out here, and she packs up one of these big boxes and from Wisconsin, and they open it up, and a cat jumps out. Turns out it's a feral cat from her neighborhood up in, you know, Kenosha or wherever. And they called the Paws Patrol and they said, gosh, what do we do? Well, catch it, put it in your car, and you're going to drive it back to Kenosha and drop it off in its neighborhood, you know, where it's
right.
Where it was used to being. We thought, that's a little extreme. But then it was explained to me that, you know, they have their colonies, they have their places that they go and where they get their food and whatever. And I'll be darned if the woman didn't do it. Put the cat
good
in her car and drove back up there. But can you imagine opening up the moving van and out comes this creature?
No, especially a feral one.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Because they can be kind of scary.
Oh, yeah. And who knows how long it was in there. But, hey, it survived. I want to hear some success stories. And,
okay.
And again, I think my family is an example of that because we adopted a dog that was 3 years old. It was at a time for our family that was just very important to feel a part of this community that helped do it. The dog lasted 15 more years. Our dog was almost 18 when she died last year. And
that's amazing.
Yeah, but now she's part of our history, our family history,
right.
You know, going forward. And I know that that's just one of many, many, many success stories.
Oh, yeah. A couple that come to mind right away is if you were on Next Door a few months ago, there was this dog that didn't even look like a dog. It was so overgrown and matted, and apparently it had been on the loose for 2 years since it was a puppy is what we were told.
Wow.
Why no one caught this dog beforehand. But anyway, another rescue organization, again, collaboration, contacted me and said, if we catch this dog, would you take it? I said, absolutely. So they had somebody that went out and trapped the dog. They had to use a trap, trapped the dog, brought it to us. I took one look at it and said, we have to get it to a vet today to be shaved down because the dog had to have been so uncomfortable. I mean, mm-hmm. It looked like it was worse than dreadlocks. It was horrible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I did. I called around to emergency vets. It was a Saturday, of course. So I got him into an emergency vet. They said they they would make the time to shave him down. They sedated him. They shaved him down, and he came back, and underneath was this cute little dog. And he was adopted within a week.
Wow.
And our next Paw Prints newsletter is actually going to have his follow-up story about him.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible. And I know there are a lot of stories like that.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah.
And then recently, this is horrible, a guy brought in this dog, said he found it. Dog is so emaciated, Dan. She's still at the shelter. We just got her last week or the week before. The day after she came into the shelter, somebody that was around the man when he brought it in came in and said, I think you need to know this was his dog. This dog is skin and bones. It is so sad. And yet she is the sweetest dog you ever want to meet. I mean, she doesn't hold a grudge against anybody. That's the beauty of dogs.
Right.
So anyway, we're trying to fatten her up right now. We've already got a list of people who want to adopt her.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, and that's why we're there. We're there for the overgrown, underfed, you know, hurt. We're there for those animals.
We've done a couple of stories out of the Green Valley News, and I recall one of them where the dog had been with you, I'm going to guess like 4 years or something. It was some real long amount of time and finally was being adopted. And I know sometimes they're brought back for various reasons, and this one I think stuck. But that was... we have a photo of the dog jumping into the car, you know, and it was just like, that said it all.
Yeah.
You know,
we've had several dogs that we've had years. The one that comes to my mind was a dog named Scruffy. And this was back years ago when I first started. And I think we'd had the dog 5 or 6 years. And a lady came in one day and said she wanted to adopt the dog that had been there the longest.
Mm.
And everybody said, Scruffy!
Is that right?
And that stuck. That dog never came back.
Wow. Do you remember Dinah the cat?
Oh, yes.
She ruled
could barely
the roost.
Walk.
She ruled the roost, though. She had like her own bed. And her own,
yeah.
She was the queen.
She was. She was the queen.
Yeah, so we had to like get down on the floor and take a picture of her and her bed and whatever. And it was just like, she rules the roost. As I recall, she was not up for adoption. She was the office cat.
Yeah, when she first came in, she was so overweight, she could barely walk. And we slimmed her down. She never was skinny, but we slimmed her down, and she was the office cat, and she did a great job up until she couldn't do it anymore.
Well, beautiful cat, and I was so glad that someone thought enough to call us and say, you got to write about the queen, and I thought, that's got to be a cat, because you know it's going to be. So
right, the queens aren't usually dogs.
They're the servants of the cats.
That's right.
So, okay, so the part no one likes to talk about, pit bulls, Staffordshire Terriers, call them whatever you want. They have a reputation, deserved or stereotyped?
Stereotyped.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe that. Of the dogs that have bitten at the Animal League, it is very seldom a pit bull.
Really?
Yes.
Mm.
Most of the pit bulls we get, at least, and, you know, it depends where they come from. You know, if they've been a bait dog or something, they may not be a very nice dog.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the pit bulls we get, their tails wag so much, they're actually a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
They wind up breaking it open because it hits the wall or something. So I can only speak to those that we have had, but very seldom does a pit bull bite at the shelter.
Well, I will tell you that overall, because we've looked at these things, and the bite rates are highest for them. I'm glad that you are experiencing something different. But you go to animal sites, not just yours, but to these websites, and it seems like that's all you're seeing out there.
Yeah, I don't think we have a lot right now. I was trying to look yesterday. We have under 10. Which I guess would be a lot when you're only talking 50 dogs, but we're not inundated with them. But I know, like, PAC has a lot of pit bulls.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah. You go to their site, and that's just almost, again, seems all they have, which brings you to this idea of no-kill shelters. And, boy, you just get overwhelmed, and at some point you've got dogs for a very, very long time, costing a lot of money.
Yep.
I get it. They're healthy, and you don't want to... off them for because nobody wants to adopt them. But
right.
At what time does reality, meet a hard decision here?
Well, let me put it this way. I couldn't be the director of PAC because
tough.
I think PAC does have to make some tough decisions. Mm-hmm. Like I said earlier, I can say no to someone trying to bring a dog in. Doesn't always work, but pretty much, we tell them, if they're from Sarita, they're supposed to go to the Humane Society.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not from Green Valley, then they really should go to PAC. I try not to let our shelter get to a point where we would have to make that kind of decision.
We have about a minute left. We have some storms on the way this weekend. Any advice?
Yeah, don't let your dogs out when it's mm-hmm. thundering and lightning, because mm-hmm. the dog's going to jump the wall or dig out. A lot of animals get lost during storms, and it's because they're frightened by the noise or the lightning even. So try to take your dog out on a leash if it has to go outside, and keep an eye on your dog.
Right.
Don't have him become a statistic.
Yeah, very good. Okay, I want to thank Kim Isley. She, again, is the president of the Animal League of Green Valley. What's the website?
www.talgv.org.
Okay, we need to have you on again because I think we could have gone 2 hours. So, so we're going to do it.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, you've been great. Okay, we're going to be right back with Weekend Watch to help you plan your long Columbus Day weekend, although I don't know how many of us actually have the day off.
I didn't even know it was.
It's a state holiday. We're one of the few. Don't forget, our live line is made possible by the pros over at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be back in a minute.
Vero Amore, where every certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore is located in the lovely Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell. Also, check out the full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
This is your captain speaking. Thank you for flying with Tucson International Airport, where you can avoid the hassles, long lines, and the expensive parking of the Phoenix Airport. Skip the traffic, breeze through security, and park with ease, all while supporting your community. Every flight from TUS brings more destinations and better connections right here to Tucson. So next time you're planning a getaway, remember, fly easy, fly local, fly TUS. This is your captain signing off. We're cleared for takeoff.
A proposed $2.6 billion regional transportation plan will be funded by a half-cent sales tax if Pima County voters approve the plan and tax next March for another 20 years. The tax rate will not increase. Funding from the 2006 voter-approved plan is expected to bring a $3.67 billion economic impact to the greater Tucson region. The sales tax investment for RTA Next will lead to a similar economic impact and more than 88,000 jobs over the next 20-plus years. Learn more about RTA Next funding and proposed projects at RTANext.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Welcome back. It's time for Weekend Watch, a great way to plan your next few days. Presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. They're just 3 hours east of Tucson. There's a lot to do in Silver City and Grant County, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness and visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. Find out more about what to do and where to stay at southwestnewmexico.org. We get our weekend roadmap here from the crew over at 101.7 The Drive. Today, we welcome Ken Carr. How you doing, Ken?
Hi, how are you?
Good. We were having an interesting conversation off air about misheard lyrics. And
hold me closer, Tony Danza.
There you go. I shot Sharon, but I did not shoot Debbie. Okay, that was one of my from my youth.
That's very funny.
And then it's shocking when you realize I've had it wrong all these years.
Happens to us a lot. Someone will send us, we get a lot of people on our text line who say, I didn't know until, because we do a lot of music facts on the air, so it's kind of fun to discover that someone hasn't realized for 40 years that a song actually has entirely different lyrics than what it really does.
So. And I will tell you, you know, so my first crush was Marie Osmond, Paper Roses.
Oh,
do you remember that?
Yeah.
And then I realized later on, like, everyone has done Paper Roses. I thought she, like, not only wrote it, but was the only one to ever perform it. One of many.
Yeah. Covers are very common.
I didn't know that the big people did covers, though.
Well, a lot of them, either that's how they got started, or they try to restart their career by doing a song that they think fits for them. You know, it happens.
Geez. Okay, well, what's going on? It's Columbus Day weekend. Not that a lot of people really have Monday off unless you're a government worker in Arizona. Or, of course, the federal workers have it off.
Yes, they do, unfortunately.
They've had the last week and a half off, which has been quite something to watch. So hit us up.
I'll start with the Drive is giving away a 1967 Ford Fairlane 500. Mm-hmm. And we are doing an event tomorrow where you can come and sign up, see the car and sign up to win it. Tesoro Latin Kitchen and Cantina, which is at Tucson Mall. It's right out on the edge of the mall, not in the mall itself, but right out at Oracle and Wetmore, 11:30 to 1:30. And I'll be broadcasting live. Love to see you. And come on by, check out the food and, great, of course, the car for your chance to win it. Things going on around town. The Mount Lemmon Ski Valley Oktoberfest is ending this weekend. So if you'd like to go enjoy a little bit of Germany, locally, it's German beer, authentic Oktoberfest food, you know, the brats and sauerkraut, mm-hmm, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And, of course, live traditional German-style music and dancing and all of that, children's games.
Where's that going to be?
At Mount Lemmon.
Mount Lemmon.
Yeah, up where the, like Summerhaven, where, the Cookie Cabin and all of that area.
Bring a boat. It's going to be a rainy weekend.
Just floaties, probably. Don't need the whole boat.
Okay.
Tucson Film Festival is happening at the Screening Room, 127 East Congress, today through Sunday. And this particular film festival focuses a bit on music-related films. And, of course, they're made by independent filmmakers and really a chance to kind of get a snapshot of what's going on kind of in the landscape of music these days. Also, Nightfall and Slaughterhouse both are going on. So we're getting into Halloween season. And one of the things that's unique about Slaughterhouse this year is that we thought this was done. And somebody, a company purchased the Slaughterhouse building, the old Farmer John's building, mm-hmm, right off of Grant and I-10. And they're letting them do it one more time. So the building has been started to work on, but they didn't take it all apart before it came up to Halloween season, and they worked it all out. So it's kind of cool that scary haunted building is going to be housing a Halloween haunted house one more time.
One more time. Last chance, folks.
Going ahead a little bit, Tucson baseball team is opening day coming up Thursday. And this is really kind of exciting for Tucson. We're the first market outside of Mexico, mm-hmm, that has a team in the Mexican Pacific League. And they do partying when they do baseball games there. So it's not the somber version that we do in the U.S.
It's an event.
Traditionally, like Major League Baseball, mm-hmm, or Minor League. It is music throughout the game. There's an appearance by Tom the Mime. Music from Tucson's best DJs, mariachis, dancing, fireworks, the whole thing. So that's coming up Thursday, 7:30 at Keno Stadium.
Okay, thank you to Ken Carr, 101.7 The Drive. You guys do terrific work. I really enjoy listening to you all week.
Well, we enjoy putting on a show for you.
Ah, very good. Okay, the Buckmaster Radio Program is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is responsible for the content of the program. Our thanks to Buckmaster Assistant Rosemary Brandt, Producer Engineer John Couch, and we had Brandon with us today. To the entire team here at Bustos Media Tucson, we tell you happy rest of your Friday.